praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, provided by Living Stream Ministry, featuring the ministry of Witness Lee. Witness Lee was captured by the Lord Jesus as a young man of 19 in his native China. He consecrated his life to preach the gospel, and later labored side by side with Watchman Nee for parts of 3 decades, before eventually bringing this ministry to the West in 1962. He spent the next 35 years speaking to Christians in North America and all over the world before going to be with the Lord in 1997. The Life Study of the Bible is his most significant contribution to the heritage of biblical exposition, and we're delighted to be able to bring you short portions of his spoken ministry today. If you have questions or comments, or would like to find other Christians in your area enjoying this same ministry, just email us, radio@lsm.org. Again, that's radio@lsm.org. Here's today's program. Our God is administrating the entire universe. The central point of his administration is seen by the Old Testament picture of the incense altar in the tabernacle from the book of Exodus. Stay with us today as we look at the central point of God's administration on this Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program furnished by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Brother Dick Taylor has joined us again today as we come to the central point of God's administration. That is a very profound thought, Dick. I'm glad that you're here to help develop it.
I surely hope I can help.
Well, Dick, our God is certainly not a passive God, but rather one that is full of purpose. It's a common question among, I'd say, believers and even many unsaved that are not sure about God, and that is they want to know, what is God doing? What is it all about? Well, I think in this life study that we've been enjoying regarding the tabernacle, we really have a full picture of God's purpose, don't we?
We surely do, Chris. In this picture, we see that God is not idle, but he is really a God of purpose. He is moving, he is administrating, he is dispensing. He does have an economy, he does have a practice, he does have a move. These are all synonymous words to indicate that God is not idle, he is very busy. And as we'll see in this program, by the picture of the tabernacle, leading us to the reality in Christ, that our God in Christ is very busy, that man would not only be reached by God, but man could be brought all the way into God for the sake of God's testimony. We hope and pray that every one of you who are listening to this broadcast would all be drawn to this marvelous administrating center, which is just the interceding Christ, and that by his intercession, you'd be motivated very highly to go more deeply into the one whom you love, not just for your sake, but for his sake. He needs a testimony. And you mentioned, Chris, that this is a picture of God's purpose, this picture of the tabernacle. And I like the fact that the tabernacle is not just a tabernacle, but it's called the tabernacle of the testimony. This means that all that we see by all the furniture in the tabernacle, and particularly by the incense altar, we see something is happening. God is administrating so that man could experience him, be brought into him, even to the extent that he and his people are the same in life and nature, so that his people could actually be his testimony. How could we be his testimony unless we get saturated with him and brought all the way into him? So this marvelous picture shows what God is busy doing, moving into us and moving us into him for his testimony.
Dick, we're going to come back to the tabernacle, but in the view that you've described here today, of seeing it as a picture of God's eternal purpose and plan. And when we see the picture and get the captions, we get it, Dick.
We really get it. So thank the Lord for this picture.
Let's go on and join Witness Lee now for today's first portion of this life study.
God is a God of purpose. He is not an idle God. He has a purpose. He is moving. He is working. He is acting. He is administrating. He is dispensing. He's doing something in the universe. That is God's economy, and that is God's administration, and that is God's practice. You can use all the different terms to describe the same thing. And this tabernacle, I tell you, is a very accurate and very detailed picture showing us God's move, administration, dispensation, economy in this whole universe. This is not a small thing. We are here as statesmen.
Amen.
We are studying the universal politics.
Amen.
And the central government is here. The Ark. This is our Washington, D.C. But do you know where is the White House? The incense altar. Where is the center of the administration? Christ's interceding life is the very center of God's administration.
Dick, the tabernacle, as we've been talking today, is not a small thing. It may have only been, 100 feet or so in length, but it really is one of the greatest items in the whole universe. It's the place where God administers the affairs of the whole universe. If we take this analogy of Washington, D.C. and the tabernacle, why is it that the altar of incense equates to the White House?
This is a very good question, Chris. Washington, D.C. is where our central government is. But suppose we have Washington, D.C. as our central government, but we have no White House. I tell you, nothing would be executed, nothing would be carried out, and there wouldn't be any motivation. There needs to be somebody in the White House. The White House is the key to carrying out, executing, and motivating everything related to our government. So in the same way, the incense altar, which leads us to Christ as the living Christ, the ascended Christ, who is presently interceding, he is the secret and the key to the carrying out of God's government in this universe. God's administration is executed altogether through Christ as the interceding one. I like this verse in Romans 8:34, don't you, Brother Chris? It's, who is he that condemns? It's Christ who died, who was raised. He's at the right hand of God, and he ever lives to intercede for us. So this Christ, signified by the incense altar, is the very practical and executing center of God's central government. So Washington, D.C. may signify the central government of God, just like the Ark in the Holy of Holies signifies God's administration in a central way. But that administration needs carried out, so we need the incense altar. So in this sense, as our Brother Lee mentions, the incense altar is the greatest item in the universe.
It is, Dick. To make this a little more understandable, at least something we can relate to in our experience, we're going to come to a point a little later in the program, but just as a foretaste, because you used this word a few times already, motivate.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes our heart is very distant and very sort of uninterested, and then seemingly for no reason, we will have a turn. There will be a change in our inner motivation to go back and seek the Lord, to really have a turn.
What happened?
Yeah, what happened? Where did this motivation come from?
This came from the interceding Christ. We can only explain it by his praying for us.
Amen. We have one who ever lives to intercede.
Amen.
Dick, let's go back to Witness Lee.
The Gospel of John represents the entire Bible. Only two books begin with "in the beginning." Genesis 1 says, "in the beginning," and John 1 says, "in the beginning." Then in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Then John says, whatever you see in existence is made by him. So here you have creation. John tells us Christ came to tabernacle the entire record. Of the Gospel of John is a record of the tabernacle. Jesus Christ in the Gospel of John is the tabernacle. In the first chapter, it says, "Behold the Lamb of God." What is this? This is the altar. Right. Then in chapter 3, you have the liver to be regenerate, to get washed through regeneration. And Titus 3 tells us that regeneration is a washing liver. If you go on to chapter 6, you have the shoe table, bread from heaven. Then in chapter 8, you have the lamp, the light. Where's the ark? 14, 15, 16. These three chapters show us the Holy of Holies. Because you enter into God. You enter into the place where God is. And Christ's death and resurrection have this goal. Just to prepare the way that we may be in God. Then you have the incense altar where? 17. Right. Christ interceded there. Amen. He prayed. Of course, in the four Gospels, you could see he prayed in many other places. But there's no record of his prayer so adequate, so marvelous and excellent like the one in John 17. To pray according to John 17. And that is a model, a pattern of the corporate Christ prayer.
Dick, the Gospel of John is probably the best known book in the Bible, at least for Christians. And here we are studying one of the most mysterious, or maybe one of the lesser known things in the Bible, the tabernacle. But actually, the Jesus Christ that's revealed in the Gospel of John is the tabernacle, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
How does the prayer that he offered in John 17 match what we're seeing in the tabernacle regarding the incense altar?
This prayer in John 17, Chris, is tremendous. This prayer really helped my wife and I many years ago to be brought to his economy, to be brought to his heart's desire. And I appreciate the fact that in this prayer, three times the Lord prayed, "Father, that they may be one, even as you and I are one, that the world may believe that you have sent me." This really matches the tabernacle. God's desire is that man would not just come in the door to the burnt offering altar, or just move along a little bit further to the laver, or to the bread table, or to the lampstand, but to go all the way in to the Holy of Holies, to become one with God, to enter into the very innermost being of God for God's testimony. And then even to join him to pray for others. So the Lord's praying in John 17 that all his chosen people would be motivated. They would be motorized to be brought into the oneness that the Father and the Son have. I tell you, you can't pray a higher prayer. That's why this is the highest and deepest prayer in the whole Bible. Christ, even I believe this moment, is still praying the same prayer, that none of us would live a superficial Christian life, but we'd be brought into the very inner being of God himself, and God would be worked into us for the sake of his testimony. So this prayer in John 17 shows us that the center of God's operation and administration is Christ in his intercession. And when we join him to pray for others, such as our family, our friends, our neighbors, we become one with this Christ to be the corporate interceding Christ, motivating others to have all the experiences of Christ as seen in the book of John.
Dick, let's talk about this just a moment. You've enlarged the scope a little bit of what or who is involved in the activity at the incense altar. Now, it's not just Christ who's there, but you just said the corporate Christ. That implies there's a participation available to the priests as well at the incense altar. Am I correct?
That's correct. When we become one with this interceding Christ, we become his enlargement. That's Christ becoming corporate by making us one with him. So we just join him even at this moment to pray for all of his people. Even all of humanity would be motivated to come forward to God, that we might be where Christ is. I like John 14:20. The Lord said, in that day, that's the day of resurrection, you'll know I'm in my Father, you in me, and I in you. The Lord's not just wanting to take us to some physical place. The Lord is wanting to take us deeply into Himself as the Father. I tell you, that's where I want to be. And Christ is praying for this.
Well, Dick, in this last section today, we're going to see the connection between the two altars that were part of the tabernacle, the incense altar in the holy place and the altar of burnt offering that was in the outer court. The altar of burnt offering was the first thing you encountered coming into the tabernacle, and it clearly typifies the cross of Jesus Christ at Calvary, right?
Right, right.
And this is the point through which all of God's people must pass before they enter into God Himself. We mm-hmm. all must come through the cross, this altar of burnt offering.
Amen.
But then deeper within the middle chamber, the holy place, was another altar, this altar of incense. And this is the point we have really focused on today. But there is a connection between these two and the activity that goes on between them mm-hmm. that very much relates to our own experience. Even we alluded to it a while ago. And that's the focus of this last section today. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Without incense altar, no one would come to the burnt offering altar. Why? No one would repent. No one would come to confess their sins. Then the prayer on the incense altar goes out to every corner of this earth to motivate Amen. In the sinners. Amen. So one day, you didn't know what was the reason. You repented. What was the reason? Because the White House sent out a short telegram. Without incense altar, the burnt offering altar won't work. No one will repent. There's the need of more prayer from the incense altar. Either Christ at the head or the church at the body, they would pray, oh, Father, look at those people. But they don't like to be regenerated. You see, further prayers. So further motivation. Not only so, we do have a burden to pray. There's so many saints here on this earth come to the soup bread table. They're starving to death. Yet they wouldn't come to Christ, enjoy Him as their life supply. Amen. Today, millions, hundreds of millions of Christians, how many they are feeding on Christ at this table? So there's a need of much prayer. The table is ready. Christ the head is praying there. Amen. For this, a prayer is going on Amen. From that White House. Not only so, praise the Lord that you are under the nourishment of the Word. Light always comes after the bread table. When you got fed, you get the light. All this need the prayer. Then what? Then you need to enter into the Holy of Holies. You need to touch God's testimony. This needs more prayer. And I do believe this prayer is still going on.
Amen.
Oh, the incense of this prayer is what? Ascending. As the incense is ascending to burning, God's execution is coming down. And this execution is just God's answer to the prayers.
Well, Dick, when most people pray, they like to pray for lots of things. Maybe concerning their finances or their job, their family members. And these are all good. We do need to pray for these things. But what about the kinds of prayer that Christ and this corporate Christ we've been talking about offer at the incense altar? What are these prayers most likely focused on?
These prayers, Chris, no doubt are focused on God's purpose. God's purpose is that God's people would be saturated with Him absolutely brought into him to become one with him and the same as him in life and nature so that they could be his reproduction for his expression in this universe. God desires to be expressed, but we can't imitate Christ. He needs to be worked into us. He needs to saturate us, and his desire is to bring us step by step all the way into himself. In this way, he's worked into us. We're worked into him. This oneness allows us to be his increase, to be his genuine reproduction in the divine life. For what purpose? So that we can express him. Otherwise, we're just trying to outwardly imitate. It's impossible. This picture of the tabernacle shows that God desires that we experience him in Christ through many stages so that eventually we become so one with him, we are his testimony. We're just the enlargement of this Christ. That's what we've referred to as the corporate Christ. I really appreciate all the pieces of furniture in the tabernacle, don't you, Chris?
Mm-hmm.
Because what are they? They all show the experiences of Christ, beginning with our repenting. And it's so good to realize that without the incense altar, that is apart from the interceding of Christ, nobody will even repent.
Right.
So the Lord's prayers and our joining him in intercession should be focused on many, many human beings repenting. And not only repenting, but to really be regenerated. Enjoy the washing of regeneration signified by the laver. And no doubt, as our brother mentioned, there are thousands and millions of believers who are starving.
Right.
But Christ is praying. What are his prayers focused on? They're focused on the fact that we need to eat him and enjoy him. And I tell you the truth, when you eat him, you really become him. You live him. John 6:57 says, "He who eats me shall live because of me." And this allows us to become his expression. The more we enjoy him by taking him into us, feeding on him, what happens? Then we shine, signified by the lampstand. Another experience of Christ. Eventually, we see the goal of his intercession. And the goal of our intercession for others is that they would be brought all the way in to the depth of God himself, to be made absolutely one with him, just like the Lord prayed in John 17, so that we could be his testimony. And then we could even join him to pray for others. So it's really good to look at each piece of furniture as a picture of the experience of Christ. No doubt you have some neighbors. No doubt you have some relatives. They need motivated. They need motorized. This may sound like a strange word, but I tell you, when we pray, there's a motor running.
Right.
I love that word.
Yeah.
There's a motor running.
Uh-huh.
Unless we pray for our friends, unless we pray for our neighbors, there's no motor. But once the motor runs, then they rise up. They begin to come forward. They rise up. We pray that they would repent. We're joining Christ in his intercession. They would repent. Then they maybe go on a little bit. They need to eat. They need to enjoy Christ. There's some that I've been shepherding, Chris. Even on the way to the broadcast today, I was praying for them to eat the bread of life, to enjoy Christ more as the bread of life, signified by the showbread table, and that they would be the shining testimony of the Lord. It's not so much what we do. It's how we shine. Christ is really praying that his people would enjoy him more and more and more and be brought deeper and deeper into him till we're in him and he's in us. He's saturating us and we're worked into his being to be his testimony. We even become one with him and join him at the incense altar to become the corporate Christ. For so many others to be saved and to be made living members of the body of Christ by being constituted with Christ.
We do hope you'll join us as we continue in Exodus. I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.
Dear Lord, we give ourselves to thee. Receive us into thy wise hands.
Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. If you have any questions or would like to find other Christians in your area who also enjoy this ministry, feel free to call us toll-free at 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 1-888-543-3788. Or you can email us radio@lsm.org. www.lifestudyofthebible.org. Thanks for listening today.
Was Jesus simply a great religious leader?
The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." John chapter 1, verse 29. Based on the scriptures, the religious people were looking for a great leader, but Jesus was introduced to them as a little lamb with a little dove. The lamb is for redemption, to redeem fallen man back to God, and the dove is for life-giving, for anointing, to anoint man with what God is, to bring God into man and man into God. Both the lamb and the dove are needed for man to participate in God. Scripture, John 1:29, and commentary from the New Testament Recovery Version published by Living Stream Ministry. For more information, visit lsm.org.